God's name. You can be seated this morning. We're so glad you took time to worship together with us in one mind and one accord. On a beautiful Sunday morning, you may say, well, it's cold outside, but it could be 12 degrees and 2 foot of snow. So it's all in perspective. Amen. The snow is melting. We're getting in the 40s. Spring is here. The birds are chirping. I'm excited to be in the house of God with brethren of like precious faith, worshiping the holy and true God. If it's your first time here, we'd love to get to connect with you. There's a connection card one of the ushers should have gave you one when you came in. If by chance you were really quick and they didn't see you out at the welcome kiosk, please go out there and fill it up, turn it in. We have a small gift of appreciation. We'd love just to get to connect with you, know you a little bit better, and see how we can help in your area. Amen. Also, we'd like to be able to give. We know that the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. A few ways to give. There's an offering box out at the welcome kiosk. You can text to give, you can mail to give, or you can use the wonderful new app and you can give that way as well. I want to just quick reminder, Save Our Children offering. We are wrapping up this offering campaign for this year. It's a nationwide offering to support our children's ministry across the globe. So if you haven't turned that in, you can mark it on one of the tithe and offering envelopes. Just mark SOC. Down at the bottom, we also have a men's ministry event next weekend, Saturday, April 9th in Moreau at 9 a.m. And that will be at the Moreau Church. There'll be a men's prayer and breakfast if you're able to make it. Please do attend. And also that Sunday, or this coming Sunday at 7 p.m., we'll be right here in the main sanctuary for a men's ministry event. So if you're a man of God and you want to grow, do your best to make sure you're here at 7 p.m. Amen. Chris and Nicole, could you stand for me? I'm not going to embarrass you too much. There we go. Next Saturday, April 9th, wedding bells. I can't make bell sounds, but we want to congratulate them right here at the sanctuary. You can be seated. Next Saturday at 5 p.m. in the main sanctuary, they'll be having their wonderful vows and their wedding ceremony. Everyone is invited to come to the ceremony, but please bear in mind that the reception to follow is by invitation only. So if you're able, bless, come and celebrate their marriage journey. 2 weekends away. How do we get to April already? One day at a time. But 2 weekends away, Easter is here, and we are excited for our Easter weekend this year. You know, back in December, we discussed the why. Now we're going to be talking about an Easter, about the how. There's some invitation cards out at the information kiosk outside. Please grab some of those, fill them out. This is going to be a great time to invite people to church. Or if there's someone you haven't seen in a while, either give them a card, reach out, give them a call, invite them to this special Easter service. Well, one quick thing before we pray. A few people have asked how you can pray for the Janesville Church, and I just want to slip this in there so it's for everybody and then I'm not repeating it. But just continue to pray. I thank for everyone that has prayed for that. Just continue to pray that God opens doors and gives us favor. And thank you for all your prayers and everyone coming. We appreciate your encouragement and your support. We wouldn't be able to do it without you and without our great leadership. If you'd stand with me, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Many of you know that we've been praying and fasting for several needs in our church. Several situations going on in our community. And I want to encourage us, as we pray and fast, let's read the scripture. Let's read the promises of God over our life. In the book of Psalms, chapter 118, verse 17, it says, I shall not die, but live. And read that with me. I'm not hearing any reverb. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Next verse. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Next and last verse. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. Now the reason why I say that, 4 years ago in 3 months, I had 3 brain surgeries and they didn't expect me to live. But by God's grace, 4 years and 3 months later, I'm still here. And they didn't give me more than 5 years at very most, and they didn't know what was going to happen. And we have people in this church that are struggling and the doctors don't know. But the great physician does know. And I'll tell you what, coming out of surgery, they didn't know if I'd remember my wife, if I'd be able to see her, if I would be able to do anything. And by God's grace, 4 years and 3 months later, I've been able to go on the mission field, come back off the mission field, get a job, have a baby girl, and now start a church in Janesville. God is awesome. But you know what? I read the scriptures and I quoted those promises. So don't neglect as we pray and fast for those. Read those promises of God. Claim them over your family. Claim them over the church body. Believe them with faith that we can see victory. Amen? Amen. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer for the awesome things that He's already begun to do in this service, what He's going to continue to do, and what He's about to do. We know the Word says, by His stripes we are healed. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this service. God, thank You for a nation where we can gather openly. Thank You for all those that have served to make that possible, that we can lift Your name up in one mind and one accord. Father, You're an awesome, holy God. There's no one else like You. And Father, You see every need in this building, those watching online and those unspoken. And right now we bring them before You, God. We bring them to Your cross where You promise that if we ask in faith, believing, that You will move. And Father, we thank You for moving the mountains. We thank You we're moving where the doctors didn't seem possible. And Father, we'll give You the glory, the honor, and the praise, because it's not by our strength, it's not by our knowledge or our power, but Father, it is by Your Spirit, by Your desire, and by Your will. So let it be done. Be with Pastor as he preaches today. Let there be a mighty move of Your presence in this service, those watching online and throughout our county and our world. Have Your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together as we go to the cross. If you're comfortable, feel free to come down to this altar and let's worship Jesus this morning. God bless you.
With all power in His hand. So thankful. Praise God. Praise God. We serve. I don't serve a God of wood or stone. I don't serve a God that I created with my own hands, but I serve a God that created me. I serve a God that's victorious. Praise God. Thank you so very much. This is just such a powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place today. If you're a guest of ours, it is. My name's Pastor Roy, in case some of you, I guess it's got my name right up there, I suppose. But my wife Lois and I, we just want to welcome you to Calvary Gospel Church. You can be seated this morning. Before we get into our word, I want to thank our worship team for the tremendous job today. Thank you so very much. Sister Jessica, she's our education pastor, and she also runs our church office here. She taught in our first session today, our youth class, and I want to thank her for her message. It's a tremendous, tremendous message. And I just want to say also, too, I don't think this has been mentioned yet. We've had our district conference, so our whole entire staff has been out of town most of the week. But before we went out of town, Sister Young Rowan Waters had a baby brother. And congratulations, Rowan, on your new baby brother. His name is Gage. Is that correct? All right, well, congratulations to you and to Mom and Dad. So your big sister now, she comes into church like she owns the church. She's a confident young little lady. And congratulations to Kirby and Brittany on their new baby boy. And also, I just want to thank Brother Bryce Grant for preaching Wednesday evening. Thank you so very much, Brother Bryce. Then also we have, coupled with our Easter weekend on Friday evening, which is Good Friday, we do have a prayer to communion service. So we'll have a special Good Friday service. We want to welcome you to that. And be prepared when you come. We will be taking communion, spending a little time in prayer. So I just want to let you know that's coming up as well. And then one other little thing I want to cover this morning before I get started. And how many kids do we have here that are, let's say, 7 years old and down to like maybe like 3 years old? How many 3 years to 7 year olds do we have? Could I have you all stand? Could everyone, all our three to sevens, could you just stand? Or mom and dads could maybe help you? Okay. I just want to give a little bit of advice. Can you take advice from an old man? I have no issue with children being active, okay? And I've been tried to be very active my whole life, and I was much more active when I was in the 3 to 7 year old range, and then I got in my teenage years and I just got lazy. And my dad had to pay us and beg us to mow the grass and all of that kind of stuff. But when we're here at church and we have these stripes going down the aisles and such, and we want to just like race around like we're a four-wheel drive, turbocharged, wild, crazy VW. That doesn't quite fit. I guess what I'm trying to say is we have a lot of older folks that have those slow-moving vehicle signs, and a lot of little people. We have lots of little people that have slow-moving vehicle signs, and we want to be careful that in our fast, turbocharged society life and sneakers that we're wearing, that we don't run into those slow-moving vehicle signs, okay? So if we can just be a little more careful, all right? And slow down just a little bit. And we don't always have to be in, like, passing gear. But I just want to give you a little bit of heads up, because if it doesn't change a little bit, then Pastor Roy's going to have to start writing out speeding tickets. And speeding tickets, they start at, like, 3 Culver's ice cream cones is where it starts at, like, so... So then it goes all the way up from there to butter burgers and bacon butter burgers and onion rings, and pretty soon it's a whole family meal of tickets. So I just want to make you aware of that. And parents, trying to be a little lighthearted here, but you kind of get the drift. And I know the kids, we have been cooped up, and they have been cooped up for a very long time. And we've had COVID, and then we've had winter, and it seems like winter has just like gone on and on and on. But let's just be a little more aware, and we'll survive this. We're in a series called The Power of Your Gifts, and I'd like to try to wrap this up today, if I can do this. We're getting into our Easter series and into our Easter message, and I want to try to wrap this up. But this has been, hopefully, this has been a blessing to you and to your family. And we've been reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Paul starts off with this. And he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, he says, I do not want you to be uninformed. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Paul goes on to continue that there may be no division in the body, and we are all part of the body of Christ. We are individual members of that body. And he uses the example of a human body that maybe some of us are hands and there's toes. And he compares the various gifts that God gives to us and grants to us. And he talks about being apostles and prophets and teachers and miracles and gifts of healing and gifts of helps and administrating and various types of tongues. Then he goes into a series of questions. He asks the question, are all apostles? Well, we would have to say, no, we're not all called to be apostles. Are all prophets? No. We're not all called to be a prophet. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And as we continue in this study, we've seen this even more clearly, hopefully, as we have studied over a few weeks now. Paul began to break down. We begin to break down those letters. He wrote to the letter in the church in Corinth. He wrote a letter. That's where we get 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He wrote a letter to the Ephesians. That's where we get, or Ephesus. That's where we get the book of Ephesians. And he wrote a letter to the church in Rome. That's where we get the book of Romans. So we've learned from these letters that there are a number of gifts. We covered this a few weeks ago now, establishing gifts. We covered that there's a number of gifts that are primarily used for planting and growing churches. And these are very unique gifts. We also have supporting gifts. These are gifts that are primarily used to organize and administrate the church so that it can carry out its responsibilities. And then we have what we call ministry gifts. These are various gifts of ministry, and these gifts are tools that the Holy Spirit uses to utilize for the ongoing ministry of the church. So we've covered a number of questions that I brought up concerning our gifts. We've talked about natural talents and physical abilities to do special things, and how that some of our natural talents, such as music, carpentry, or mechanical or artistic skills, that God can use our natural talents in a spiritual gift. We learn that spiritual gifts are natural abilities, or spiritual abilities, excuse me, to do specific or certain things. And natural talents are often the vehicle in which God uses and which spiritual gifts can be used. We ask the question, are spiritual gifts the best sign of spirituality or maturity as a Christian? And the answer was no on that. Does every saint of God have a gift? Yes, God has given us all gifts. And when do you receive your gift? And we talked about a lot of times God gives out those gifts early in our spiritual walk, or sometimes even when we are saved and we receive salvation. And can a believer, can you have any gift that you want to have? And the answer to that is no, because God gives out these gifts. So the gift that you have may be different from the gift that I have. And God gives us gifts of varying degrees. I may have the same gift that Brother Eric Seidel has, and gift of teaching perhaps, but God uses us differently because we're different. Now that's pretty awesome. He doesn't expect, so what I'm saying is when, if God gives you a gift, he doesn't expect the same result from your gift as he does from my gift, because we're different. And then we ended up with our question, our last question on our last message, our last message on this was, do spiritual gifts come ready to operate? And the answer to that is absolutely not. They don't come ready to operate. They're not ready to run, batteries included, gifts. We talked about that. So you could go online if you'd like to get the full series on this. But as we move on today, continuing in our questions concerning our gifts, the next question that we're going to raise up this morning is, can my spiritual gift or gifts be lost? This question has come up a lot. I've had this asked me a lot. Pastor, if God gives me a gift, can I lose that gift? And I'm going to give a little bit of it may sound a little bit of a twisted answer perhaps, but my answer to that is yes, it can be lost. And before you start saying, oh, no, not necessarily, but I want to explain why I'm saying yes and no to the same question. This is a you have to take this, the context of this. So say that you've been living for God for a number of years. Okay, now I'm giving you, I will give you my life story and example because I have lived no other life other than my own. So I can't stand up here and I can't give you personal references relating to John Repka. I have to give you my. So I had been living for God for a number of years, 20 plus years. And through life circumstances, I just began to slowly drift away from God. This is to show you that you could grow up in a church. Your father can be the pastor of that church. You can be involved in ministry in that church, and you can still backslide in that same church. So you drift away from God. You stop praying. After a while, life sets in, responsibilities of life set in. You stop attending church, and you let that spiritual light that once shone very bright, slowly, slowly over time, it is choked out by the cares of this world. Now understand something. The gifts that God has given to you, those gifts slowly diminish as well. Gifts which are not used, gifts which you refuse to accept, or you do not allow God to develop them within you, yes, they can, over time, become a lost gift. I believe Jesus, when he talks about the parable of the talents, this is an illustration of us neglecting the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us. You see, neglecting our gifts means cutting or the restriction of our gifts. And what did Jesus, which was the master in this parable in Matthew 25, what did Jesus do? He rebuked the one servant that took his gift and took it out and buried it. That's a good example of someone that was a servant, was a church member, was involved in, had a position of, because he was good enough to give a gift. But he took that gift and he did not do anything with it. So listen to me carefully here. A person might not be faithful to the call of God on his or her life, but that calling is still there. I ran from God for 13 years of my life, and I was running from a calling. I was running from a gift, if you would want to put it that way, that I felt God had given to me, and I didn't want to accept the responsibility of the gift. So I ran from that gift. Now, I firmly believe, because God gave me warning, I don't have time to go into all of that this morning, but God gave me warning that I have called you, but I'm not going to call anymore. There is a time where we can, God is long-suffering. But there does come a time, and I think Israel is a perfect example of that. Israel has always been God's chosen people, but they have not always listened to and obeyed God's command. Read the book of Judges. It's 420 years, if memory serves me, of Israel, up and down, up and down, up and down. And we can read this and we can wonder, how in the world can they share the stories of their Jehovah God parting the Red Sea and the manna and the fire and the cloud and all of this stuff? How can God do all of these things and yet they're serving a God of stone or of wood? We really are very There's very little difference between us today and Israel. We find careers, we find relationships, we find sports, hobbies, all kind. I'm not saying any of them were bad, but it becomes our idols. We don't go out and carve an idol out of stone, but we'll go to a baseball park when we should be at church. I'm just saying, I can't make that judgment call for you. I don't know what's holding you back, but I knew what held me back. I just let stuff, hunting, fishing, camping, four-wheelers, all of that stuff is what I put in place of Baal or any of the other gods that the Israelites served. So, yes, a person might not be faithful to the call of God on his or her life, but that calling is still there. They may not always serve God as God intended, but God never stops calling. So God doesn't necessarily go back on his calling. That's why it's so important for us to obey and answer the call. I talked about this a little while ago in a little different context. Sometimes we fight ourselves. Sometimes we fight the enemy. And sometimes we fight God. And sad to say, most Christians today are fighting all three fights. Because they're fighting with their flesh constantly. The enemy is constantly provoking and trying to mess life up. And then because we're not following after the calling of God on our lives, we have God squeezing us as well. And we wonder why we live such stressed out spiritual lives. That's for another series, but nevertheless. Now, are some gifts more important than others? Well, yes, I believe that there are some gifts that would rank higher and the level of importance. I believe the gift of tongues is very important. I believe that the gift of prophecy is very important. I believe the gift of healing is a critical, crucial gift because these gifts directly affect the body in some very profound ways. But we have to understand that the relative value, hear me now, okay? The relative value of spiritual gifts is to be tested by their usefulness to the church as a whole. Now, this is going to come into play when we get into our next point. Paul wrote that due to the interdependent nature of the gifts, which means God gives us our gifts individually, not for our individual purpose, but for the edifying of our brothers and sisters. So God doesn't give me the gift of prophecy so I can hang prophet on my door and everybody knows I'm the resident prophet. God gives the gift of prophetics so we can edify the body. Edify means build up, not tear down or control. Understand, these are gifts of God. God doesn't give bad, botched up gifts. So this leads us in to Paul wrote that this interdependent nature, these gifts, there should be no spiritual pride associated with any of these gifts. If you're proud of your gift, you might want to redetermine that. You might want to think that through a little bit more. Now that leads us into the next question, which is a very, very important question, and that is, can spiritual gifts be misused? How many of you want to take a guess at the answer of this? All the yays say, all the nays say yes. Why do we know that they can be misused? Because, well, Paul was writing these letters to these churches because they were being misused. You see, the gift of tongues serves no purpose if all we do is come to church and all we do is stand up and speak in tongues and speak in tongues and speak in tongues and speak in tongues and speak in tongues, and we let everybody know how spiritual we are because we just do nothing but speak in tongues. What would happen if you went through a drive-thru at McDonald's and you wanted to order a hamburger in tongues? Do you think you'd get a hamburger? Why? Why? Because they don't understand what you're saying. And the same thing was happening there in the church in Corinth. People were coming into church and everybody was speaking in tongues because they're so spiritual. That's why Paul had to say, I'm glad I speak in tongues more than all of you. But I can't just come in here and do nothing but speak in tongues because then everybody's going to be confused and nobody's going to have a clue what I'm saying. So can they be abused? Oh, yeah. You see, speaking in tongues is only as valuable as there is someone to interpret that. So you have two gifts that need to operate because there's the gift of tongues and there's the gift of interpretation. We talked a little bit about this in our last lesson. I've seen many times over the years two gifts that are nobody ever, I've never seen the gift of helps misused. I've never seen anybody overmow the lawn. I've never seen anybody overclean the bathrooms. I've never seen anybody over vacuum the sanctuary. But I've seen a lot of people trying to bolster their positions in the church using tongues interpretation and the gift of prophecy. Two of the most misused gifts of all of the gifts. I've seen people use it for personal gain. I've been in services where people have stood up and given tongues interpretation. They give the tongues, they give the interpretation, and they're asking people to help them move, and they're collecting money for rent and all kinds of things. That's not what God had in plan when he set this in order. I've seen people try to control the church through the gift of prophecy, because prophecy is listed before pastor, so I'm a prophet. So you need to listen to me. Listen, if the prophet is speaking out of line, the prophet's out of line. That's why they stoned them in the Old Testament. Do you think for a minute God's going to give a prophetic word to someone in a congregation that goes against what his own word says? No. That's why some of these gifts, if God gives you a gift, it says you have to prove your gift. I don't just wake up one morning and say, oh, wow, I think I really felt a prophetic something. I'm a prophet now. There has to be a proving. Talks about proving of the elders and of the leadership of the church. Remember, everything must, 1 Corinthians, Paul states this as he kind of gets done with all of the issues. He lays it out. He says, let all things be done decently and in order. God has placed checks and balances within his body. That's why a lot of our elder folks here have what we may call it elder intuition, but I don't call it elder intuition. I call it the spirit of discernment. They've been around long enough to know when there's a spirit that perhaps snuck in under the radar, and all of a sudden it's trying to show itself or prove itself to the congregation. And some of the older folks will sit back and say, you know, there wasn't something quite right with that prophetic word. Where does that come from? It comes from years and years and years of experience, discernment. Sometimes it's just blatantly obvious. Other times, not quite so. So we have to understand there is a difference. I want us to be able to take and serve God with excellence. But there's a difference between excellence and perfection. I am not perfect. His body is not perfect, but we strive to be more excellent in all of this. So none of us are capable of serving God perfectly. But whenever we serve God, even if it's something that we're not particularly excited about, there are so many things that I have done over the course of my life when it comes to the kingdom of God that I haven't necessarily been real excited about, but I've done them because they needed to be done. I didn't specifically have a calling, but it needed to be done. You do that at home all the time. I don't know why. I have no idea why we go out and spend thousands of dollars planting grass and then fertilizing it so it grows profusely, and then we complain because we have to mow it. I told my wife, I said, one day you're going to come home and our yard is going to be all gravel, rocks, blacktop, or concrete. I know Brother Brad Top makes a living mowing grass, so he appreciates that when you fertilize it. But there's just some things that we do, we don't necessarily like to do or want to do, but we do them. And that comes the same thing when it comes to serving God. So we're not always excited about it, but we need to do this if we're serving God. This is part of the process. Now, we just finished a series a little while ago on what can fruit do for you. I've mentioned this many times in this series that the fruit of the Spirit is directly tied in and related to the gifts of the Spirit. What I mean by that is if you don't possess fruit, then you're probably not going to have much on the gifting side of things. So if you're ornery, cranky, you don't love anybody, you hate the pastor, you hate the church, you can't stand sitting in a crowd, and all of these different things, and you're short-tempered and such, you have zero for fruit, you're probably not going to have much on the gift side of the equation. So look for joy. As we serve within the church, there are some things that give us great joy. There are some things that are designed to bear fruit in our lives. And when both of those things occur, it's likely an indication if you're having joy in serving God and you're bearing fruit, it's likely that you are utilizing some level of spiritual gift. I've observed that both in my life and the lives of others here at Calvary Gospel Church. Remember, I've attended this church for 42 years, I believe, of my life. Personally, I get a great deal of joy and satisfaction out of teaching. I didn't always get joy and satisfaction out of teaching. A few years ago, I didn't think I was very good at teaching. Our bishop was our pastor, and he is an incredible Bible teacher. And I didn't think that I would ever be able to be a teacher like Bishop was a teacher, so I didn't even bother to try. Why bother when you have to get up and teach, and then John Grant gets up and teach, and everybody's like, wow. I hear this all the time. Your father had such an impact on my life. He had an impact on my life as well. It was a little different, perhaps, than the impact on your life. You had a spiritual impact. I had a physical and a spiritual impact. He couldn't move me one way, so he moved me another way. So over time, my father, he was the teacher of the family. But you see, over time, I allowed God to work within me. I allowed God to help me. I listened to what my pastor instructed and said, this is how you can become more effective. I read books that he gave me. Some of the books were tough to read, and the hardest thing I ever had to do was sit down because he made me do it and listen to myself preach. I thought, oh God, these poor people. How in the world are they ever going to survive? I'd listen for 2 or 3 minutes and turn it off. Run outside, gag, throw up. Just joking a little bit. But you see, I learned, hopefully. You're coming back. You're still here. You haven't left yet. I've learned to slow down a bit. I don't get up, and it's not just like wide open, turbocharged, hit the nitrous button and just to see how fast we can get through 7 pages of notes. I've learned to communicate. I've read, I've studied. I've learned that you have to sometimes, even though you may have a lot of passion within you, some of our young men, they preach it. They do a tremendous job in our men's services. I want to encourage our men to come on our Sunday evening when we have, because a lot of our young men are speaking, and they get up and they get very emotional and such. I felt like I was Jeremiah. Boo. I can't even preach because I'm so, but I've learned that passion is not a bad thing, but you have to learn to control sometimes. And I've had to learn some of these things. So today, as odd as it seems, I much more enjoy teaching than I do preaching. I enjoy Brother Scott Graham. We listened to him for 3 days, and the guy is just like absolutely, I mean, if you want a wide open, no holds barred Scott Graham, I mean, he just incredible. I enjoy good preaching. I enjoy listening to the teaching of others. There are times that I enjoy it so much that when some of our pastors and ministers are up here talking, you just want to just get up right with them and just co-preach, co-teach, because I enjoy this. Why is that? Because I've allowed a gift that for decades I ran from, didn't want anything to do with, and I allowed God to take that gift, that seed that was implanted in me at an early age, and to grow it, work through it. Like I said, it doesn't come ready and equipped. It doesn't come fully assembled. But it's been 17, 18, 19, almost 20 years now that God has been able to take and continue to work in my life, in this particular area of my life, in this particular gift. And today we have not the end result. We just have today. So I'm not quite done yet. I've got another hour to go. My last point is it is very, very critical that we appreciate the gifts of others. I just want to say this. I have such a deep love and respect for people that have gifts, that struggle through the development of those gifts, but nevertheless, they continue to persevere and you see that gift begin to bloom and blossom in their life, and you begin to see God use them in their gifts. So many of our young people and our young ministers and our young couples in this church, God is using in some very incredible ways. And God has given each of us our own unique gifts. We've been made to function in community with one another. And this is why Paul writes that we are members one of another. In order for this body to function properly, each one of us must serve in the areas where God has gifted us in. And then we become dependent on others. This is the critical part. We become dependent on others to serve in areas where they are gifted in. So God set this up so that whatever weaknesses that I have, He's going to give some strengths to Brother Rico. He's going to give some strengths to Sister Kim. He's going to give some strengths to Brother Lenny. He's going to give some strengths to Sister Jane, to Brother Larry, and to each and every one of us, because we're not all strong in every gift. And God says, I'm going to put this together in such a unique fashion that my body has to depend on itself in order to help, listen, perfect itself in my kingdom. Because if Brother Caskey has a gift and he's perfecting his gift in God, then he will take his perfected gift and he will teach it and use that gift as he teaches and as he trains, and it helps us. And that gift is instilled a little bit in us. And then as we take our gifts and we begin to use our gifts, we are helping each other. This is why, instead of envying the gifts of others, we should look at our brothers and sisters and say, I'm so thankful that God has placed Benjamin Smith where he has placed Benjamin Smith, because Benjamin Smith is a blessing to me and my family and to our church, and I am thankful for that. Oh, but he gets to plant a church in Janesville. I didn't get asked to plant a church in Janesville. Well, keep using your gift. You may not be in Janesville. You might be in DeForest. But you see, he's in Janesville because he lives in Janesville. God's not dumb. God knows strategy. He created everything we know and see in just 5 days. He created us on the sixth, and then he got so worn out by that, he took a nap. So I'm grateful for the way that God is working here at Calvary Gospel Church, but I struggle with the fact that what could we do? What could this body of people do if we were operating our gifts and we allowed God to operate through us at full strength? You see, I think this is where the first church, we studied about Acts 2:42, and everywhere they went, people were healed. Demons were cast out. They were a powerful, powerful church because they fully operated in the gifts. So as we stand this morning, our ushers in the back have a questionnaire that we're going to hand out. I want everyone to get one of these. So if our ushers want to start, maybe come down to the front, start handing them out. There's five questions that I want you to answer. No matter how old you are, I want you to answer. I want our young people to answer these. I want our moms and dads, our old elderly. Question number one is, as I study how gifts operate in the Bible, do any of these gifts resonate in my soul? So as you sit here this morning, I'm going to tell you this, okay? I don't care your spirituality level today. Listen, I was backslidden. I knew I was backslidden. I knew I wasn't living for God. I wasn't going to church half the time, but I knew that God had placed a gift in me because I was running from that gift. So you may be here today and you may say, well, you don't understand this, Pastor. Oh, yeah, I understand it fully. I will just warn you that the globe isn't big enough for you to get away from God. So what do I enjoy doing? What do I enjoy doing? What are some of those things that I really enjoy? Because so many times our gifts are tied in with our talents and abilities. And what is the Holy Spirit telling me? When I pray, what do I feel in the Spirit? What is God, what is that impression that I get? When I'm around people, do I feel, when I see a need, do I feel a desire to help? These are all things that we need. If we don't ever answer these questions, if you don't answer these questions, you're never going to be able to get to where God wants you to go spiritually. What ministry in my life is God blessing? There's a good chance you're on the right path if God's blessing your steps. But there's a caution. One of our series coming up soon is going to be something along this line, that the desires of your heart, you know, God will give you the desires of your heart. Did you know that? But that doesn't mean it's God's will. We hear that all the time. So we're going to talk about that. But this is, what ministry in my life is God blessing? What area is He blessing? And what gifts? You know, sometimes other people are far more observant than we are. What gifts do others see operating within me? So what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to take these questions, and I want you to spend a little time here this morning in prayer and say, God, I want to answer every one of these questions. And if I don't have an answer, then why? Why, God? Because God wants to use every last one of us. Period. Nobody is exempt and nobody is left out. So as our worship team begins to pray, I just want to open up this altar. The power of our gifts. The power of our gifts. God gave them to us to use them. God bless you. Thank you. You know, sometimes our biggest problem is we always want to have an excuse, don't we? well, God, you can't use me. I hope this doesn't embarrass our brother, but back last fall, Brother Ray Bergette came up to me during the end of service, tears in his eyes. As recently as last year, his wife passed away. He says, you know, he says, I believe that God is wanting to use me in a particular area of my life. I need to know more. I need to grow more. I need to learn more. He faithfully turns in his PI lessons to me every service. Got it right here. Why? There's a desire. There's a willingness. And then God says, you know what? I can work with anyone who's willing. Anybody who's willing. You don't have the knowledge you feel you need? Well, he's working to gain that knowledge. But you see, this is how it works with God. God will give you a gift. And then it's up to us to take and begin to hone that gift. And then as we begin to hone that gift and use that gift, I promise you, God will put people in your life that will help you bring that gift to full fruition in your life. And then as you use that gift, God can entrust you with the next gift, and then with the next gift. And we wonder why some people go around in their life with a full basket of fruit and a cartload of gifts behind them is because they are willing to allow God to work in any and every area of their life. I love you all, and it's exciting to see what God is doing. Just keep moving forward. Just keep moving forward. Some days we move forward. Yeah, it's a whole lot. Man, wow. Look at everything that we got done today. And other days you feel like it's just a snail's pace. But that's just how life works. It's just how life works. When life is fast, you move fast. When it slows down, you slow down. But no matter if it's fast or slow, God wants us to enjoy the journey. He wants us to enjoy the process. It's not designed to just be a load and a bearing and a drag. It's a joy. If it's not a joy, then sometimes we need to just rethink. Why am I doing this then? If we're doing it for me, it's going to be a drag. I'm doing it for God and a heavenly reward. Listen, man, you may work a lot of overtime, but boy, the paycheck is going to be well worth it. Love you all. God bless you. Don't forget, fill out your 5-question survey. All right? God bless you.